ya lo hace, pierna derecha, directo al arco, ¡golazo! ¡Golazo!
The world of football with a soccer perspective. This is Soccer Today with Dwayne Mullins and Kevin Larame, live on the Sports Podcasting Network.
Good day, good night, and welcome to Soccer Today for Friday, March 1st, 2019. I love when I get to say March once a year. It feels like spring is coming. It feels like summer's coming back. And yes, MLS is back tomorrow, and Dwayne, today is our annual prediction show.
Yes, and it's minus whatever today, so I'm officially saying the March came in like a lion, which means that it goes out like a lamb, if you all know that old saying. I don't know if that's a saying in French or not.
It is. You start like a lion, you finish like a lamb. Commence en lion, tu finis en mouton.
There you go. So it works in both languages. So that's hoping, according to this, everything's supposed to be nice in about exactly 2 weeks. They said there's going to be like a flip switched in there, switch flipped, and you go from there. But let's get into this MLS preview. It's our annual tradition. You can save the show if you want. Yeah, save this tweet, hashtag, whatever you want to do. You know, I've been right some years. I've been really wrong some years. So I was really wrong last year. Although I did nail Orlando. Everyone thought Orlando was going to be a solid playoff team. And I said, no, they suck still. And I was right there.
You were right. You're one of the only ones who put Orlando deep, bottom of the East. We'll see if 2019 changes, because I think you're not going to be the only one putting Orlando there this year. We'll see. Let's start with, first of all, we'll do the standings. We'll do the trophies. We'll do the MVP and the Golden Boot. So who wins the Supporters' Shield, MLS Cup, U.S. Open Cup, Voyagers Cup, and the MVP, the Landon Donovan Most Valuable Player Award, and we'll also have the Golden Boot. But let's start with the Eastern Conference in number 12. Who do you have, Dwayne? Bottom of the East.
Orlando City.
Yay! Me too. Way surprising.
Look, I mean, their air are... I always bring up the analogy of TFC. They are in TFC 2013 territory at this point in time. It doesn't matter what they've done in the offseason. It doesn't matter who they've added. And I know that they've added a pretty big name this offseason, although I would question whether that was sane, just like TFC, whether it was sane for them to add Torsten Frings all those years ago. They're adding a guy at the end, and a guy that's always had some commitment issues to begin with anyway. Look, they're in show me, don't tell me range. And everyone now, as you say, is on board with this. Orlando doesn't know what the hell they're doing, and until they prove otherwise, until they show that their ownership is competent, you've got to pick them near the bottom. Maybe they're not exactly bottom every year. Maybe they finish ninth or whatever, but this is not a playoff team as I can see right now, Kevin.
No, I have to agree. And if you go back to yesterday, Jonathan Tannenwald was talking about Orlando and about James O'Connor, and we still have a lot of questions regarding both Orlando and their manager, and we'll see if 2019 brings us answers to those questions. We still need to see more from Dom Dwyer. We still need to see more from this Orlando team to be able to give him any credential whatsoever in 2019. I have them slotted at number 12 as well, and I do feel Orlando, if not the wooden spoon for sure in the entire league, but I would say, bottom of the East. That's almost a guarantee.
Fair enough, look, again, show me, don't tell me. I don't know much more they're saying. I suspect we might be similar on our number. There's only 11 teams in the East, by the way, but our number 10 team.
That's what I meant, That's what I meant.
There's 12 in the West. There's 12 in the West. We have another uneven season this year. So, until they're even and they're consistently playing in a single table, playing the same amount of games, the same amount of teams, is why the Supporters' Shield is never going to be as important as the MLS Cup.
It's weird, though, because I have 12 teams here in front of me. Okay. Did you forget Cincinnati?
Yeah, no, I'm looking at the they not put Cincinnati in. I have Cincinnati in my thing here. Sorry, Captain, we're doing a live thing here.
On
the MLSsoccer.com, there's 11 teams listed.
But there's 12, so let's go to number 11 in the East, Wayne.
All right, so number 11 in the East is, Chicago. I have the Fire, number 11 in the East, because the Fire are a tire fire. And, they had that little resurgence there for a while, and then that kind of saved them from themselves. But, this is not a team, even if there were, some rumors and some additions coming in. They have, 61 goals last year. they're in tough, and they're also in show me, don't tell me range at this point in time. So the Fire are my second from bottom team in the East.
We have a different one. I have a different team in number 11. The only reason why they're not further down in the Eastern Conference is because of Orlando. But for me, FC Cincinnati in 11th position in the Eastern Conference. Just the last team before the last. The penultimate team in the Eastern Conference for me, FC Cincinnati. It's going to be a rude awakening. It's not going to be easy playing in Major League Soccer. Some players will have difficulty transitioning from USL to Major League Soccer. There's a few good players, of course, but it's a discovery year for FC Cincinnati. And I do feel that it won't be as bad as Minnesota's first year. But it won't be Atlanta's first year either. And I do feel that I see them going into 11th position. Which brings us to 10th position for Dwayne.
Cincinnati.
I figured we swapped those two and I had a feeling we did.
Yeah, it's a similar sort of discussion with Cincinnati. I just don't think that they've built this team right. I don't think they're going to be the worst team in the league. You know, as Minnesota was quite clearly off their launch. Because I think they learned some things, particularly on the defensive side of the ball. So I do think... you know, I've heard of the previews where they say they'll probably steal a game or two at home because it's a weird field on bad pitch. It's a terrible pitch. So, you know, although they just redid it, but it looks pretty awful if you watch the replays from last year. So, yeah, they're going to steal a game here and there. They're going to be okay. They're not going to be allowing 730 goals, you know, like Minnesota. That's a bit of an exaggeration, but not much. But they're still not going to be great, and I don't know where the goals are going to come from.
Yeah. I agree with you. That's why they're 11th for me. And in 10th position for me is Chicago. So we literally swapped that pick. Chicago, the return of Bastian Schweinsteiger. I still can't believe he returns, you know. You do a testimonial, you fly halfway across the world to play your former team with them and against them with Bayern Munich and all your trophies, your 17 trophies you won there. When you come back to play another season, come on, man. I thought you were retiring.
The one, if anything, screams out retirement league, that's it, right? That he considers himself retired, right? He's gone to play a testimonial for his real club, and this is just, you know, families moved to Chicago because that's a thing you can do in retirement. And yeah, he plays a little game on the side for this sort of pub league team, but that's kind of how he views this, is by my mind. I mean, there's professionals who's going to go out there and try, but even when they had their little reassurance, reemergence, pardon me. Yeah. He wasn't really driving it. It was more of the up front and the goal scoring that they were getting at the time. And I don't know. The Fire, it's unfortunate. You know what? In MLS case, it's almost like they need. I would almost argue that they should be looking to add a second team in that market, or Milwaukee, move Chicago. Something to push them a little bit more,
or move Chicago downtown. That's what I would do. But it's the prices of the. I would say the lot to build a stadium is going to be
there's a north, you know, they have a history of north side south side there, right? So the Fire are they're very south side, so you know, if you were to put a team in Wrigley for instance, or somewhere around there, you could have a north side Chicago team. But the problem with that is, if you're the Fire, you'd probably fight that because you would be buried. I would suspect there would be a lot of current Fire fans, unlike the New York thing where a lot of Red Bull fans just got more indignant, and I think it kind of helped galvanize them. I think they bleed support if that would happen.
The Chicago Fire fans, what, there's a new team coming to town, bye-bye. I'm going to go to the new stadium. All right, which brings us to number 9 in the Eastern Conference. Dwayne, who do you have slotted to finish 9th in the East?
New York City FC.
Wow.
That's a big drop, obviously. But if you look at the way that they finished the season last year, you look at the addition to replace Villa, which is this mysterious player that, you know, maybe they know something the rest of us don't know, but it doesn't really look like that.
Mitrita? Talking about Mitrita there?
Yeah, exactly. And look, I when I was doing the East, I really think, to be honest, I'm not trying to, you know, overly caveat this, but if anywhere from 3 or 4 down to about here, they could flop a little bit. It's pretty tight in this next little stretch, but I just, until I see them getting that breakout, I'm going to believe that they were what they were in the second half of the year last year.
I don't disagree with you at all, because I have NYCFC slotted at 9th as well. I have a feeling they're gonna slip back. They're gonna have a identity crisis, figuring out who they are and how to execute their game plans, how to take advantage of the small field in Yankee Stadium and be able to grow in the entire season. And looking at the Eastern Conference with teams like Philly, Columbus, and Montreal Impact, and other like DC United that have stepped up over the last year and a half, you need teams to step down. And I think NYCFC is one of them, and I think NYCFC will finish ninth as well, which brings us to number eight, the last team outside of the playoffs in the Eastern Conference.
The most forgettable team in the East, the New England Revolution. They're not terrible, but they're not great. And this not terrible, not great is either the last playoff position or the playoff position, the worst position to finish. And that's where they finished last year. They finished eighth. Montreal did bypass them last year. But I think they end up in eighth again this year, even though there's another team in the conference.
I agree. I think the New York Revolution will be eighth. I have them slotted there as well. The team outside the playoff in the Eastern Conference, outside looking in, which brings us to number seven. First team to make the playoff, at least for one game for sure, in the Eastern Conference. Who do you have, Dwayne, at number seven?
This is where I'm going really off chalk here, and I don't think we'll agree. A lot of people have them pegged as a top two team in the East. I think that they are looking at a mirage similar to what the Chicago Fire were the other year. I don't think they're going to quite drop as far as the Fire did, but a full year of Wayne Rooney, with all that travel and all that, not the excitement of building toward the stadium build. You look at DC United's play over the first half of last year and over the last few years, I don't think they're going to get the same magic they did to propel them to fourth last year. I think they will figure out enough to make a playoffs, but I have DC United being the disappointing drop in the East, pulling the TFC basically from last year, and being the team that just squeaks into the playoffs because of the expansion. So DC United is my first way off chalk pick that I'm throwing in here at seventh place.
All right, we'll see where I have them slotted. Maybe you think as well that the Acosta transfer that went, I would say, not really good on transfer deadline day for Acosta in Paris. Maybe that did leave some traces, we'll see. But I have slotted on my seventh position, Dwayne, Toronto FC. And I put them barely in the playoffs. And that is with a caveat that they do get Pozuelo. If they get Pozuelo, maybe they're able to squeak in the playoffs. But I have them slotted at number seven for now, TFC.
I'm higher than I thought you'd put them, to be honest. Kevin and I don't come together with this. I sort of told Kevin where I was leaning in terms of my MLS Cup pick yesterday. But other than that, he didn't know. I actually thought you'd put them out of the playoffs, and I think a lot of people are. I'll get to them more when we get to them. So we'll move on and go to number six. Kevin and I might as well jump in and we'll just swap here because I have the Impact six.
Me too. I have the Montreal Impact at number six. I'll tell you why. I think it's going to be difficult again for the beginning of the season. Maybe not as bad as last year where they did lose 8 of 9 and 10 of 13. But I think Montreal, with their first 8 games of 9 on the road, I think if they're able to get, let's say 4 to 6 points, it'll be 4 to 6 more than they did last year. And I think with those 4 to 6 points could be the difference between making the playoffs and not making the playoffs. And if Montreal is going to follow the same blueprint as last year, which means from June on, a better points per game average for sure, and a climb of the standings and a more interesting type of soccer to watch as well, and Rémi Garde's going to continue to adjust his team and be able to take advantages here and there and tweak it and marginal gains, and at the end of the year you find yourself with your team that's been hottest in the second half of the season. I think it has a chance to happen again because of the fact that Montreal starts on the road and is going to have a lot of game at home in the season and in the summer part of the season. So for me, Montreal number six.
I think the Impact are a solid team. I really do, and I could see them going higher up the table. I think that the concerns that Jonathan brought up yesterday, if you didn't hear it, go back and listen to it now, but after we're done this. But Jonathan suggested that scoring might be an issue, and I think Urrutia's a good pickup for them. We've talked a lot about this in the offseason, but I do agree that there's a lack of depth up front. Anthony Jackson-Hamela at this point is a non-factor unless he proves otherwise. That's show me, don't tell me again. That's the story of today, right? So that's until
the phrase of the day, show me, don't tell me.
Yeah, and until we see that, I'm not going to believe that he's a player that you need to even factor in any regard whatsoever. So that's where I see the impact. I can see them going higher. I think that they're solid enough in regard has them going in the right direction enough to be in the middle of the East, but to truly compete, you know, unless Piatti has a true monster season, I have trouble seeing them going up to there. But it's definitely a playoff team, and I think they're going to be really tight with my number five pick year in, year out, which is going to be interesting because my number five pick is Toronto. Not much further up than what you have them. I am a little bit more boyish on them, boyish maybe perhaps, because that could be my naive side talking. I don't know. I just think that Josie is going to have a good season. I really do, now that he's re-signed and that pressure is off his back. He knows he's here for a while. I think that the surgery he's had in the offseason has finally fixed his injury issues, which is going to allow him to really propel forward and help this team be better.
One quick question for you. Sorry to interject, Glenn. What was the surgery, and was the bubble wrapping of his entire body successful?
Yeah, as lots of people have pointed out, he's actually played more games over the past 4 years than most people remember. They just remember when he's out. But nonetheless, certainly last year was a bit of a struggle for him, and it was all propelling. He played the MLS Cup in 2017 with a broken foot and, you know,
and scored.
Never recovered from it. Yeah, so that's what happened there.
And scored with the broken foot, if I'm not mistaken. So you know what? Yeah. Pain is temporary.
Yeah, championship. He wasn't in pain for the next few days, if people recall. Look, I am reluctant to pick them any higher than this because I think it's going to be a bit of an adjustment for Pozuelo. I think he's a brilliant player. The pressure coming in on him is going to be immense. That said, you know, there is a higher ceiling on this, and I do think that come 2020 that you're looking at a team that has put their pieces together and has had a full year under Ali Curtis that is once again going to be looking to go up that table. But this is a retooling year, in my opinion, for TFC, and a playoff appearance is something they should be shooting for, kind of similar to 2015 if you're a TFC fan out there.
All right. Now we're moving to my number five, my fifth position in the Eastern Conference. For me, it's Philly. Philly did some great trades and roster movement in the offseason. They signed some decent players. And it's the continuity of last year where they had a resurgence, where Jim Curtin found a way to make his best players a bit better. And now the squad itself, the roster, is a bit better, in my opinion. But it is for a lot of teams in the Eastern Conference. And I do feel Philly will get their parts. You know, they're going to get their wins necessary. And they'll finish fifth. They'll be a playoff team. And they'll be a dangerous playoff team, too. You never know. But for me, the Philadelphia Union in fifth position, which would be a great finish considering all the good teams that exist in the Eastern Conference.
By virtue of the fact that I haven't mentioned them, people will understand that I agree with a lot of what Kevin just said, but I'm not ready to talk about them just yet, so I'm a little higher on them, surprising myself, really. I'm going a little off chalk with this one, too, but bear with me. I'm picking Atlanta to finish fourth.
Four for Atlanta for Dwayne.
Yeah, fourth, look, they're a brilliant team, talent-wise, no doubt about it. I just think that defending a championship is hard. We saw it last year with Toronto FC. There was other factors going on, and Atlanta did advance last night in the CCL if you missed it with a 4-0 win. So they will have that additional burden on them. The coaching change, the fact that Almiron is gone, who I think was an absolute brilliant player in this league that couldn't, you cannot. I know Pity Martinez is a very good player, but what's our phrase of the day?
Show me, don't tell me.
Yeah, I'd be shocked if he doesn't show me, but at the same time, he still has to. I'm not, like, fourth place is no shame. I know Atlanta fans think that I probably just, told their mother off and beat their grandmother with a shovel or something, because they don't react very well to anything that doesn't say they're the greatest franchise that ever lived right now. Toddlers are like that. That was a little bit of pettiness coming out there, but that's fine. I've been dealing with them for 2 days.
Yeah.
But I can see them taking a slip back. And, you know, if they do finish fourth, that is still going to be a home playoff date in that first round. And if there's an upset and above them in the playoffs, that they still potentially would have a couple of playoffs. But it's going to be difficult to defend a championship in Major League Soccer. It's a league that is not set up to have champions repeat. The fact that Seattle and Toronto both went to back-to-back championships is something that I think was against the model of the league. And Atlanta is not Real Madrid. So I am picking them to be fourth. Still very good, but fourth.
My team in number four in the Eastern Conference. We're almost done the East. We'll get there soon. For me, it's the New York Red Bulls in fourth position. Of course, just the continuity of their project, having them as contenders year in, year out for the last 3 years. The Red Bulls do have a strong core, have a great club identity, and we can see where the results would come from the goals being scored, from the great save by Robles, to just taking it game by game. I can see them having the result and momentum needed to finish fourth. And, New York Red Bulls, perennial contenders until proven otherwise, I guess. And for now, I slot them in fourth position in the Eastern Conference.
And I have not talked about them yet either, so I'll just move on and go to my third pick right now, which is not the New York Red Bulls. It is the Columbus Crew. Not Crew SC, because that is a marketing conscript that I'm not going to follow. I never did, never will, don't have to anymore. I think that the re-signing of Krukat yesterday was a brilliant move. Actually, it was, because it's another little screw you to the previous owner, and everything that they do, from calling it Crew 96 on the hashtag to bringing back Crew Cats, everything else is a screw you to Precourt, and it's hilarious every time they do it. So at any rate, that is my pick for third. Columbus to me is the team that will move the least. I can't see them dropping much further than four. I can't see them going higher than three. So I really think that, to me, as weird as this sounds, this is the team with the least amount of movement, in my opinion. I think they still, they do have questions. Obviously, the coaching change is the biggest among them this year. I think they truly need like a high-end impact player. They don't have that yet. This is an ownership group that has said that they might spend, and another reason I think that they're going to be high up in the Eastern Conference and a contender to perhaps even go to MLS Cup Final is because the ownership has sort of committed to spending, and they might spend in the summer window is what I'm saying. So that's why I have the Crew at third. I can't see them going any higher. I can't see them going much lower either, though.
No, and I agree with you. That's why I have the Columbus Crew third as well. I think with the whole enthusiasm that is now present in Columbus, with the Save the Crew aspect, the new ownership group, the Haslam, the Edwards families, and of course the new players, the new coach, Caleb Porter coming to town, looking at a player like Giassi's Zardes and trying to get the most out of him. I think they're going to have a good season. And that's why I see them finishing third as well. I think it's going to be a positive season. I think players like Federico Guain, which maybe have a hand, like just a few years left in this league, I think will have a great contribution in 2019. And I do agree, and have the Columbus Crew, hashtag Crew 96, in third position in the Eastern Conference too.
All right. My number two pick, I can't quite see them going from irrelevant to the top in one season. They started from irrelevancy and now they're almost there, is what I'm saying. There's my Drake reference. Get your bingo card out.
So you're saying they started from the bottom, now they're almost there.
Yeah, exactly. It's Philadelphia Union. I do like the moves they made in the offseason. I do think that there's a sort of refreshment in that market right now, and I feel that they're going to grow into their season and do quite well. I can't see them being this is a team that could swing all the way down, though. Like I talked about, you know, the Crew being solid in that 3-4 kind of range. I think Philly could go as high as two, but I'm picking them on their ceiling as opposed to their floor. Their floor is probably 6-7. That's a bigger swing there, right? But I do like the moves they've made. There is generally a team that exceeds expectations in Major League Soccer each year. I think the Union might be that team this year. So that is my number two pick in the East.
My number two pick is DC United. I see them having a good season overall. Maybe not the great stretch they did have last year, but a more balanced season overall. I think they will not necessarily rely on Rooney, but use Rooney for whatever it gives them and supply that goal-scoring ability of Rooney with Acosta and other players that will find ways to motivate them. I think the fact that De Leon is gone and other players that have moved on have created openings for new players in this roster to become effective. There's no more dead wood, at least not as much dead wood as there was with DC United last year, basically De Leon. And now moving on to this year, I have a feeling where DC United are going to put things together. They're going to continue to grow together, and coming out of that growth will be a second spot in the Eastern Conference.
fair enough. By process of elimination, you know that my Eastern Conference regular season champion pick is, once again, the New York Red Bulls. Keep on keeping on. This is a system that works. This is a system that plug and plays across the board. This is proven to work year after year. You're foolish to bet against them at this point. The Red Bulls are a damn good program that has never won an MLS Cup. At this point in time, I'm prepared to say that that is less a reflection of their abilities and more of a reflection of the randomness of a playoff. I'm not saying that I want to get rid of the playoff. I don't. But I do think that that's overstated. I don't think there's something particularly glaring about that when you talk about the Red Bulls. But this is the most consistent regular season team over the past 5 years. I cannot pick against them. It would be foolish to do so. The New York Red Bulls are my Eastern Conference pick in the regular season for 2019.
And with the same process of elimination, you know that my team for 2019 in the regular season is Atlanta United. I do have a feeling that they will win the Eastern Conference. Whether that is enough to win the Supporters' Shield, we'll see later on. No is the answer for now. But Atlanta will, for me, have a, I wouldn't say same type of success as last year. It will be different. I think all the teams are going to have a bit more realistic season. They're not going to go close to 100 points like we've seen in the last few years, or 70-something points. I think it's going to be a bit of a lower point tally. But Atlanta is going to be close to DC, but they're going to edge DC to get the top of the Eastern Conference this year. And I have a feeling we'll see a different Atlanta with a different type of attack, a different type of goal scoring. I'm not expecting 30 goals by Josef Martinez, but I'm expecting a bit more of a team contribution with the new players. Barco maybe taking this team and carrying it a bit more than he was last year. He's going to be asked to be a important piece in Atlanta this year. And I think with Pete Martinez and Josef Martinez, the Martinez brothers, the Martinez bros, I think Atlanta is going to win the East.
Fair enough. Shall we move to the West then, Kevin?
Let's move to the West. You started first in the East. I'll start first in the West. For me, my number 12 in the Western Conference, to the surprise of no one, the San Jose Earthquakes.
Okay, yeah, fair. I mean, I think it's going to be difficult for them to really fly up that table. They have ventured into irrelevancy. I have them a little higher, so I'll move on and talk about it a little bit more in detail then. My number 12 is a similar team. What's the old joke that we always say? If you try and list them out on a piece of paper, what are the two teams that you're most likely to forget?
Houston and San Jose.
Well, not Houston, Colorado.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. See, I even forgot it there.
Yeah, the Rapids. Show me, don't tell me. They need to find scoring. They have an old keeper there that's not even their best keeper on the team. It's taken up a lot of their money. Well,
they got rid of their best keeper on the team and traded him to Vancouver. Zach McMath was their best keeper, and now he's playing for Vancouver.
Yeah, silly decisions that you know, they had that one season that was a bit of an outlier because they were solidly defensively, but you don't win championships in MLS playing defense. You'd win them by playing competent defense and, you know, scoring. And if you look at the last few champions, that's what they did. But at any rate, the Colorado Rapids are irrelevant in so many ways, just like San Jose. But San Jose has a little more relevancy this year, which is why I did not pick them last, Kevin.
I pick them last because I feel it's going to be difficult for the first few weeks. And they're going to be in a hole, and it's going to be difficult to get out of. And Almeida wasn't able to bring all the players that he wants to bring over yet. So I think there's going to be at least a 6 months to a year period before this roster is compliant with Almeida, with Almeida's mentality. So for now, I do feel it's a 12. And for me, in 11th position, I do have the Houston Dynamo. Nothing against the Dynamo. They do have a couple of good players, but looking at the other forces in the Western Conference and looking at other teams that did get better, for some reason, Houston doesn't stand out for me. And they do have Kyoto and company, but never replaced their big names, and Houston's going to be 11th for me in the Western Conference.
All right, we're way off on that one, so I'll just move straight into my 11th pick, which is going to lose some more Vancouver followers here. The Whitecaps. The Whitecaps are essentially an expansion team. I think that Mark Santos is going to get them going in the right direction, but you can't flip a switch in MLS. This is a different level. You can't bring in this many people over and expect to be successful. I think they're going to really struggle off the top. The Whitecaps, I think, will grow into themselves. I think that, like, this time next year, we'll be talking about them as a playoff team, but there is going to be a process. The Vancouver Whitecaps, to steal another phrase that's famous in another sport, are going to have to trust the process, because I think this year might be ugly, and that's why I have the Whitecaps in 11th.
Yep. I don't have them at 11th, but I don't have them far from it, too, so we'll get there. For me, in that 10th position in the Western Conference, I have the Colorado Rapids. Yes, they did a couple of interesting moves in the offseason, but it's the show-me-don't-tell-me team. I need to see some wins before I can predict them to do anything. And Colorado will be a process in 2019, but still 10th in the Western Conference.
All right, I have the Earthquakes as 10th. I think that the unique style that they will bring to the league will frustrate some teams. But as you've said earlier, there is an adjustment period here. He's going to have to bring his players in, and it's hard to see them much higher than that. We've already said a lot about them, so let's just continue up the table.
For me, in 9th position in the Western Conference, the Vancouver Whitecaps, for reasons Dwayne mentioned, a lot of new players, new coaching staff, new mentality, new tactics and new instincts for the players. There's about 13 different nationalities represented in the 18-man roster for the Whitecaps. They will need to gel and to grow together. It might take a few weeks of adjustment for sure, and that's why I see them as 9th, which is not too far away. It's only 2 spots away from the playoffs, but I do feel it's going to be a learning process for Mark Dos Santos and for the Vancouver Whitecaps. I feel they could become contenders in 2 years' time if things go according to plan. But for now, from the players we've seen with the club, unless we see Wong Ying Bom becoming really good really quickly, I don't think they have that game breaker to be able to propel them over that red line. So I do feel the Whitecaps will be 9th in the Western Conference.
All right, and my 9th place pick is Salt Lake City. Just a team that I think lacks direction at this point in time. The strange DP signings in the offseason. Joel Plata is not really a guy that I would ever build a team around, as anyone who knows me knows. And I think he's proven that as a DP over the past few years. We thought they were going to break through last year. They just didn't. They seem stuck. I think that they're not going to be far from 6th, but they aren't going to be far from 12th either. It's kind of a bit of a murky mess in here, but I just don't see much in RSL that makes me want to pick them as a playoff team. So I'm not. They're going to be 9th, in my opinion.
All right. And my 8th team in the Western Conference, the LA Galaxy, the only teams. Why is it the only team with 4 DP right now? Anyways, they're not roster compliant yet. They have less than 24 hours to do so, and we'll see what it will be the cost of getting all those players to be able to be eligible for the LA Galaxy. But it's not going to be easy for the Galaxy once again. We're looking at a team in turmoil. We're looking at the possibility of Alessandrini being shipped out of town, or however they restructure those contracts to make sure that there's only 3 DPs and not 4. I don't know how they'll do it. But I don't know how they'll get results, too. I think the Zlatan experiment, to call it that, is a way different than the Beckham experiment, as Zlatan is not going to sacrifice anything from him for the team. He's going to think about Zlatan first. He's going to think about his own personal achievements and stats first. And I don't think that is a good idea when you're looking at a long season for the team that is important. And I think it's going to cost them again a playoff spot, and I think the Galaxy are going to finish 8th, just like last year, just outside the playoffs.
Alright, I have them a little higher up, so I'll jump into my 8th place pick, which is Minnesota. Minnesota's improved, but I think they're still razor thin in terms of depth. I think that their home advantage, we don't know what it'll be yet. I'm sure it'll be there to a certain extent. So I do think they are going finally in the right direction, but they're just in too much of a hole to pull themselves completely out of in one single season. So improvement in Minnesota, but not yet a playoff team, just outside of it, in fact.
And now we're moving to the playoff spot in the Western Conference. For me, in 7th position, FC Dallas. FC Dallas lost Urruti and a couple of other pieces, but perennial academy players will come over, take over, and they'll have success. And FC Dallas will be 7th in the Western Conference. This is the new coach, new mentality. Oscar Pereira is now gone to Liga MX. So we'll see how this affects FC Dallas in the upcoming season. But I do feel FC Dallas will do just what it takes to squeak in to the playoff spot.
This is the first time, I think, in the West that we've agreed on a position. I do have Dallas in seventh as well. They are actually similar to Toronto, as we talked about earlier. They're kind of in a reloading phase. I'm still trying to make their new direction, but they do have a good internal system there, although not as good as people give it credit for. I think that they were a couple of years in that we got. And there's a lot of signings there that were done to distract people, weren't there?
Yeah.
Right, so that's maybe where we're at there a little bit. I think that they're no longer anywhere close to where they were when they were winning the Shield, considered a perennial champion. They actually were my MLS Cup pick, I think, the first season of the show. So they've dropped up quite a bit from them, but I still think they have enough to just squeak into the playoffs this year. So FC Dallas in seventh for me.
My number sixth position in the Western Conference. After 2 years of dwindling in Major League Soccer, of not having their own stadium, of not having their own... Well, they did have their own team, but it wasn't a good one. 2019 will change things in Minnesota. It will change things in a way that they have their own stadium. They can get an on-field advantage in a way. And they have better players, and they did splash some cash in the offseason, in a way. So, for me, Minnesota, in the playoff, sixth position, surprising a lot of people, not necessarily going deep in the playoff, but at least, say... Six is better than 12. And, for me, that's what's important. It is the first step of a successful season. The first successful season in Minnesota's history will be this year, and sixth position for me with the new stadium now, and everything.
Yeah, we always talk about hard. We've talked at length about hard launch and soft launch, and they're through the soft launch, and now it is truly the hard launch. You know, we joke about how there's two expansion teams. There's kind of three, because this is really Minnesota's first all-in season in a lot of ways, and that's a strange way to go about business. And we can criticize them to the cows come home if we want, but it's the deal's done now, and they move forward. And Atlanta's got their championship, so hopefully no one's comparing them to them anymore. So because it's silly to, right? They came at the same time. That's the only thing they have in common. But you know, we both have them kind of in the mix. So there you go. My sixth place team, Kevin had them much lower. I kind of like the Central American makeup of them, and having watched them play a couple times already this year, I think Houston has enough to not be great, but to be just good. And just good is going to be about sixth place in the West. I think that the Houston Dynamo might squeak in one of those bottom positions. And as I said, I like that kind of makeup of the team. I think it's going to be one of those. It's going to be similar to what RSL looked like when they were just okay before they've kind of fallen into this rut that they're in now. Houston Dynamo, sixth place to me.
Well, for me, in fifth position, a team that I have a lot higher than you have, and because I see some potential in how they finished last year and how they were able to literally squeak into the playoffs without doing anything, not even playing in the last week. And, LA Galaxy did, you know, what in the bed. They didn't do something nice. And they crapped the bed, to be politically correct, and RSL took advantage of it. I have a feeling RSL is going to do the same, just low-key good results all season long, like a balanced results all season long, just enough to be in fifth position, maybe far from the team who's going to be fourth, and far ahead of the team who's going to be sixth. But I have a feeling RSL, just slowly chipping at it, will get the points and will finish fifth.
All right, fair enough. If you bake up a lot of spaghetti and put a lot of gooey sauce on it, and you reach your hands in and you whip it with both hands against walls, like whip, 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 a lot of it's going to hit the floor. It's not going to taste very good. A lot of it's not going to work at all, but some of it's going to stick, and you might just be able to get enough off of it to you know, feed your hunger. This, to me, is the LA Galaxy in 2019. They whip a lot against the wall, and they have a lot of advantages that they take advantage of. They don't really know what they're doing, it doesn't seem like, and a lot of the stuff they do hits the floor and gets really dusty, and it's kind of gross to eat. But I do think that, by and large, they should have enough talent to get into the playoffs. Not deep in the playoffs. I don't think they're going to do anything in them. Zlatan is what, one more year, two more years maybe, so they should take advantage of this. This is not 2008 anymore, though, and they still operate that way. LA Galaxy, fifth place, just in, just enough. That's fine. they won't like it because they're especially not going to like it. As you notice, I haven't mentioned another team yet. So there you go. Good place for Heat Galaxy.
All right. Let's move to the fourth place in the Western Conference. For me, it'll be the Seattle Sounders. Seattle Sounders lost a lot of pieces over the last 18 months due to retirement, to roster movement. When I mentioned Minnesota earlier, I think one of the big reasons for that is the grit, the grinta that Alonso is going to bring to Minnesota. Seattle will miss that grinta, but Seattle will have other pieces, and the return of Jordan Morris, fully healthy, is almost an addition by itself. And Seattle is going to be one of the best teams in the Western Conference. There's a lot of good teams, though, so I put Seattle number four.
Yeah, we agree on the position with the Sounders. In the past 2 years, I picked them out of the playoffs wrongly.
And, we all know what happens. They were out of the playoffs in June, but for some reason, in the playoffs by far in September, November.
So similar to the Red Bulls, where you start to look at the trends, and this is just a team, it's just always there. They find a way. I don't think they're as good as they were during the 16-17 run, but they're not as far off as Toronto is now. So I do think that Sounders are in the right direction. If Jordan Morris has a breakout year, they could go further up. Although I would tend to think that this is the team that's similar to Philadelphia or similar to Columbus that is most set in their position in my mind. I can't see them much lower than fourth. I can't see them really at the top either. So I think the Sounders will go in fourth place. And hell, if they're hot at the right time, you never know.
Exactly.
They could go back to the MLS Cup final.
They could win the MLS Cup from fourth. I wouldn't be surprised. Now moving to third position in the Western Conference for me, LAFC. Some people have them as contenders. I still need to see them perform and not how's the best way to say this without using bad languages, without throwing away leads and throwing away games and points like we have seen last year. And I think LAFC is going to be third. I think it's a continuing growth movement. Now they have MAK back from injury. He's going to be a key player in that midfield. And they will go as far as the defense and the midfield defenders are able to stop the onslaught of goals. I think LAFC can be the best team in the Western Conference, but because of the defensive liability of some players, at least I think they're going to be third. So that's saying they're good. They're a great team in the Western Conference. But in my mind, I have two teams that because of their head coach, I feel that they're better than LAFC, and that's no offense to Bob Bradley. Bob Bradley's making this bunch of misfits look amazing, especially last year, but I have a feeling it won't be as easy to replicate that magic, and two teams with better core players will be better. But for me, LAFC third.
All right, well, third is still quite good. Third place for me is I think we'll say Phoenix, because every time I write their short form down is PDX.
PDX, and it's Portland. P-O-R, yeah. Just write P-O-R.
I don't know why I do the airport code. But, yeah, Portland is my third place finish in the West. The Timbers typically go up, then down, up, then down. This should be a down season based on the history. But I think they might sort that out finally. Really, when I look at the West, I look at the bottom, like, 5 to 12 teams, and I think that there's a separation from 1, 2, 3, 4. The four teams I'm picking now, I think, all legitimately could win the West in a playoff. I don't think the teams below it can, and I include Portland in that potential MLS Cup representation team. I don't think Portland has enough overall depth to be at the top in the regular season, but I do pick them to be solid and in that contending spots once the playoffs start. So especially with their, you know, the new home field advantage in the second half of the season, which I don't know, a few more seats in that stadium, what that's really going to do, but they'll probably have a psychological boost from it. So Portland is my third place pick.
And my second place team in the Western Conference, it is Portland, for the same reason that you just mentioned. I don't see this team going further down in the standings in second. I think they showed a lot of people last year with a great run, and especially with the drama field run in the playoff, who, like, we'll never forget that Seattle-Portland game where they needed goals in overtime and they did get the goal, and then they get to extra time, and it was just an amazing moment in the playoffs, one of the best moments in MLS playoffs history, that comeback, if you want to call it a comeback, or that end of game that was just fascinating. But for me, Portland, second best team in the Western Conference. They have a lot of great pieces. They're going to continue to grow, and they'll evolve in this season to become one of the best team in the West by the end. But I still have one team that I'm higher on in the Western Conference, if you know what I mean.
Well, I've been here for 5 years, so I do. Don't call it a comeback. Now I'm going to have that earworm in my head all day. Thanks for that, Kevin. My number two pick is...
Dwayne, I've been here for years, too. So don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years.
Yeah, there you go. Number two, it's your top pick because I can read the tea leaves here, is SKC. Look, SKC is the New York Red Bulls of the West, in the sense that they're always going to be near the top. They have a great system that they can fit and plug and play into. What they do lack, similar to the Red Bulls in my opinion, maybe even to a little more extent, is a true impact player, which to me is why they haven't, other than that one year in the freezing cold in 2013, ever managed to truly break through and get the job done when it matters. At the business end of the season, that's my same as my Red Bulls analogy, is that their business end guys have not gotten it done. They haven't managed to find goals, and I think SKC is the same way. Damn good team though. We saw it last night, right? 5-0 in aggregate to the Mexican team. That's the most impressive result in CCL in a long, long, long time. I don't care what Toledo is doing right now. And you got TFC fans have got to be kicking themselves too, right? Because at least they would have an MLS titch in this round. But that's going to be the one caveat I'll give to this too, is now that this team looks like they'll probably be in the semifinals of the CCL, that's going to be a bit of a burden on the early part of the year. So that's another reason to maybe slit them just a slightly below the top. But they're going to be in there in the mix for sure.
My number one pick, continuing on a trend that's now 3 year old, third year of existence, I'm choosing SKC as my top team in the Western Conference. I was not planning on choosing them, but then I watched the CCL this week, and I watched them destroy Toluca. I watched them have more possession than the other team in Mexico. Like, okay, yeah, they're my team, number one team in the West, and this year might be the year. So, Swami has to do what Swami does and pick that SKC.
All right, so the only team left that has not been mentioned by me, of course, is LAFC at this point. I picked them last in the West last year because I thought that their lack of depth would kill them.
Let's be frank here. You picked them last in the Western Conference when they had 16 players on the roster, barely enough to even play the game. So...
Yeah, and that was what I thought that would bite them. And you know what it did, I think, in the end, because they faded. I think that they have addressed that to a certain extent. I think that a full year of Ramirez, as the main guy up top, from Vila getting the service into him, could be really pay dividends. And I do think Bob Bradley, to me, is top five coach in the league. I don't want to, I can't separate the top four or five coaches in the league. He's among them, I'll say. So I do like LAFC a lot this year. I think that they are going to just continue the upward trajectory. And hell, we had a second year team go deep last year. Well, as deep as you can go last year. So we might as well continue the trend. And here's the other thing too. This isn't a criticism, Atlanta fans listening, but it is a reality, is that there are certain advantages that expansion teams are handed. They are given more TAM and they are given more GAM, and that allows them to build a team in a way that established teams cannot. So you should, in the modern MLS, if you're going to launch, you might as well go for it off the top, because I think your best chance to win championships are in the first two or three years of your existence. And we saw it with Atlanta, and I think you're going to see it with LAFC as well. And I have a feeling we're going to see it with Nashville coming in as well. I don't know exactly yet, because we haven't obviously seen them sign a single player, but based on what I'm hearing, it wouldn't shock me if Nashville comes in a similar way and is the next team that we're talking about in this way.
Yeah, maybe. And this was the prediction for the standings, and now we're left with a few questions I will answer in the best of our abilities to wrap up the 2019 prediction show. First of all, save the show. What is your predictions? What are your predictions? Let us know on social media at 24th Minute for Dwayne, at Kev Larame for myself, at Soccer Today SBN. And if you want to join our fantasy league, do like almost 100 people did already. You got another 2 days to join our league. So make sure you just look for Soccer Today on SPN, on MLS Fantasy Soccer, and you'll find our league. And now, Dwayne, what's going to be the biggest story? Let's start with TFC for the Canadian team. So let's start with TFC. What's the biggest storyline for TFC in 2019?
Josie El Tador. He's gonna score. Sorry for singing there, but
that was bad. Anyways, yeah, Josie, new contract till 2022.
Yeah, I think that he's gonna stay healthy. I truly do. And if he stays healthy,
that's the story.
Well, he's going to play a complete year, and he's going to it is now his team. That is, you know, it was Javinko's team, and he was the great second piece that they had. And I always used to say that the most valuable player TFC had was Jozy Altidore, because when he was on, that team was unstoppable with Javinko in this piece. And they were. In 2017, they were. They legitimately proved that. You can't argue it, really, right? Yeah. And it was because Jozy got hot in the playoffs at the right time. And I think that Jozy Altidore, as the leader of this team, as the definite leader of this team, is going to come in and not even be fully English speaking off the top, is going to be the guy that they really look to. And I think that it's, you know, one way or the other, Jozy Altidore is going to be the story, because the other way he could be a story, and Montreal Impact fans listening to this might be cheering for this one, is that he might not be healthy, and it might prove that this was a mistake to re-sign him to 2022, and TFC will not be in the playoffs if Jozy Altidore is not scoring this year. So he is going to be the story of the year in Toronto.
My story of the year for TFC is, you know, this is a famous trope in the world of sports. When you get a new general manager and he's stuck with the same coach, it's not necessarily his man or his person behind the bench, well, the leash is shorter. And I do feel the leash will be a bit short for Greg Vanney under Ali Curtis. And my big story for TFC is Greg Vanney does not survive the year. Toronto FC will have a new head coach before the end of the season. That's my big story for TFC.
Maybe. I mean, I do think that that's going to be something to watch for sure. And if they start slow, if they continue to replicate the form we saw over the last two games with Pozuelo in from March 17th to 4th, I think that they'll get a pass even on this weekend. But once March 17th rolls around and assumedly one or two more pieces is added to this, they will be the pressure will start to ramp up. So, yeah, for sure, that could be an absolute obvious story to watch moving forth.
We'll go quickly and finish our question, because we only have 5 minutes left before we have to before our Cinderella carriage turns back into a pumpkin. So at Montreal Impact, the biggest story for the Montreal Impact would be, for me, that Timmy Garrett's going to be the best coach in Major League Soccer in 2019. Like, literally, and it's going to be recognized as such. That's what this season represents for me. It's the rise and the glory of Rémi Garde. And maybe changing that mentality that he struggled in England with Aston Villa, he's going to win it this year, at least the best coach of the year. I think that's a Montreal Impact story.
All right. I just have search for goals written down here. I mean, it's similar to what I said when I was talking about them earlier, that if Piatti's, you know, playing out of his head, but they're not finishing up top, that could be a something that starts really great. And they, you know, when we move into the summer months, that there could be a real desire to bring another scorer in, especially if Urruti struggles to find the back of the net.
Vancouver Whitecaps. Dwayne, in your mind, what's the biggest story for Vancouver this year?
Storyline. The fan unrest. I think the Whitecaps, to use a TFC analogy, are hitting their 2013. I think that there's going to be a lot of empty seats there. There's going to be a lot of frustration in the market, because I think they're going to struggle. I don't think this is a fan base that is ready for a rebuild. They are sick of it. They are sick of not having what they feel is the proper investment for a club of their popularity. They're going to be a bit of a pushback from the fans in Vancouver this year.
For me, the Vancouver Whitecaps storyline will be Wong and Boehm, newcomer of the year. For me, he's going to be the player that joins the Major League Soccer in 2019 that has the most amount of success, and he will win that trophy, and he will carry Vancouver on his shoulder, maybe not to the playoffs, but at least he's going to bring hope for the season coming. So that's the storyline for me for Vancouver. Wong Ing Boehm is a discovery year in Major League Soccer.
All right, fair enough.
Now, let's move on to our MVP. Before we go to the V Cup, USOC, and not USOC, but the US Open Cup, you know what I mean? Yes. All right, MVP, Dwayne. MVP of the 2019 season.
Carlos Vela. LA Galaxy. I'm sure LAFCs love that. Fans love that. But I believe that the LAFC is going to be a very good team this year, and they're going to be driven by the offensive production of their dynamic midfielder and frontline combination. So Vela is my pick for MVP.
Yep, makes a lot of sense. For me, it's going to be in the Western Conference as well. The team that's going to finish second in my standings in the Portland Timbers. And until I see him not become a candidate for MVP, he's going to be one of my choices every year. Diego Valeri, my choice for MVP in the 2019 season.
All right. Well, yeah, it's just like SKC in many ways. So can't argue it.
And the Voyagers Cup, Dwayne. Who's going to win the 2019 Voyagers Cup in Canada? Will we have an upset in the final, or won't we?
Under this current format, the current champion has a tremendous advantage. That current champion happens to be Toronto FC. They will have had a full season to build and add their pieces by then. They will have spent their money. By the time things roll around, I think TFC, particularly since they might focus entirely on it as their main competition this year, has to be the favorite because they are starting in the semifinals.
Yeah, no, I agree with you as well. Unfortunately, I think TFC is going to win the Canadian Championship again. Now, moving to the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. This is like a crapshoot. It's like closing your eyes, throwing a dart, and seeing where it lands. But I have a feeling for teams like Minnesota, who never won anything, this could be a great way to get a trophy under their belt. And why not? Why not? Loons, Minnesota, winning the U.S. Open Cup.
There you go. There are certain teams that take more seriously than others, and that's kind of a way to look at it. I am going to go down that route and have a team that used to take it very seriously but has not necessarily done as well in.
I know where you're going.
I'm going with Seattle. I'm going to pick Seattle to win it this year. But, you could also go with Philly. You could also go – there's teams that have taken it more seriously than others, and that's kind of the way to handicap it a little, like you said, like blind darts in a lot of ways.
And we finished the prediction show with the MLS Cup winner. We've said who's going to win the – did we say who's winning the East in the playoff, Eastern Conference Final, Dwayne, for you?
Yeah, we didn't say the Shield. For the record, I have the LAFC winning the Shield. But my Eastern champion, I don't think the Red Bulls are going to get it done because show me, don't tell me. So my Eastern representative is going to actually be Columbus. Oh, wow. Is who I have picked coming out. I think that there's going to be, I think one of the big stories of the year is going to be Columbus's market and the excitement in there. And I think that they're going to build on that all year and that they, in the business end of the season will be hot and will find a way to get back to the final. I don't think they'll be hosting it, but I think they'll be in it.
Okay, so I'll go quickly here. My East is Atlanta. My Western Conference finalist is SKC as well. I'm going chalk here. For this, which leads us to our MLS Cup champions. To finish the show, Dwayne, who is your 2019 MLS Cup champion?
I think that the Vila and Christian Ramirez combination, Bob Bradley up top, and a home date in the MLS Cup final means that the MLS Cup is going to go back to the sunshine, which is going to make MLS media very happy. And it will be in LA with LAFC this time in the second year, doing a back-to-back second-year team winning the MLS Cup.
And I'm going, you know exactly where I'm going. Come on, if you've been watching this show for a while, you know exactly who my MLS Cup champion is going to be. In 2019, I see the Sporting Kansas City, former Wizards, making some magic and winning the 2019 MLS Cup. For Kansas City, I have a feeling they're going to get it done this year. I've been saying this for 4 years, maybe this year is the right year. We hope you agree with us. We hope you agree with our prediction. Let us know your predictions at 24th Minute for Dwayne, at Kev Larame for myself, and at Soccer Today SPN for the show. Make sure you join our Fantasy League to be able to measure your knowledge of Major League Soccer versus us, our colleagues, and a lot of people that you'll be surprised to find in our Fantasy League. As always, you can subscribe anywhere you get your podcasts. But if you like Canadian soccer, and you like Canadian soccer a lot, make sure you go to patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. A pledge of $2 a month or more will give you access to the Two Solitude Soccer Podcasts. Four shows a month, one show every week. And this week we have one as well, talking about the Canadian Premier League and the schedule. And it's always a fun discussion to talk about Canadian soccer. And make sure you do give us a pledge at patreon.com/sportspodcastingnetwork. But as always, for Dwayne Rollins, I'm Kevin Larame. We'll have our review of the weekend Monday and the return of the Canadian Review. It's the first week in Major League Soccer regular season. We'll be glued to our television. Hopefully you are too. And until Monday, as always, have a great soccer.
You can find the podcast version of all the shows we do on iTunes, Apple Podcast, Google Play Store, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, and anywhere you get your podcast.